How are y'all today? Good shape? Well, it's good to see you here, and we've got a lot of announcements and things to talk about, so I'll go ahead and get started. I'll read fast and you listen fast, okay? Okay. Well, we thank the Lord for today, July 13, 2025, and boy, this year's moving right along. It's going right along, so... We do want to say that for announcements in that way, Friday, 6:18, the Oasis Club, if you're a part of that, is going to Booney's in Blumville for pizza, so you keep that in mind. And then on Saturday morning, we're going to have the men's prayer meeting at 7 a.m. in the Berean class. Those are the things that are kind of going on this week. We'll go over the Appalachian Fair booth sign-up is out there in the foyer, and that will be on August the 18th. So there will be a class on that this coming next Sunday on 7:20 after the PM service. So if you have any questions about serving in one of the booths at the fair, just be aware that this meeting is going to come next Sunday in after the PM. We'd also like to say congratulations to Ford and Angela Davis for a granddaughter, Andy Louise, and that's Andrew and Trinity's daughter, and so I know they're very happy and proud, and congratulate them if you get the opportunity. And then the other thing to look out for out there in the foyer is the men's golf tournament. If you play golf, you want to be involved in that. It'll be Saturday, August the 16th, and you can sign up out there in the lobby. Get you some clubs, okay. we'd like to say this morning that we offer our condolences to the Cox family with the passing of Roger and Miss Sandy, and her daughter was here this morning, and the grandchild. Our heart's broken. Roger was a good friend to the most of us, and he did whatever he could, a lot of things in the church. Also, we want to extend condolences to Angela Arnold, and her mom, Jean White, passed. So that's another one that we need to keep in prayer. And then Rich Goldrup, his niece, Amy, passed away, and we want to offer condolences to you, Rich. And so, God bless you. I know they'll be traveling up there to Maine this week, so y'all pray for them as they travel. The Lord will keep them safe. And then we also extend our condolences to Anna Snyder. Her grandmother, Marilyn Mims, passed away also. So these are our brothers and sisters in the church that have had death in their families, and please remember them. And as they go through this time, pray that the Lord will give them special strength. Okay, we have a couple of visitors this morning, I think. Daryl, who is visiting with us. I guess this is your first time, isn't it, Daryl? Okay, it's good to have you. Okay. And then we have Mr. Smith back here. He's slipped in on the back there. It's good to have you this morning. Okay. And so, good looking bunch this morning. I know that you'll enjoy the class. We pray that you do. And we welcome you, okay? So, we are going to have a couple of birthdays this week coming up. One of them is Miss Carolyn Hodges. Happy birthday this week, Carolyn. Okay. And then the other one's Leroy. It's good that money will do. Well, we're thankful for these birthdays. I mean, the Lord blesses us, so we're so thankful for Him. No anniversaries this week. Evidently, nobody didn't want to get married this week in July, so it was probably too hot. So anyway, welcome this morning, and as we pray this morning, let's remember Lillian. She's at Bristol. They're working with her, and we pray that God will be with her and raise her up if it's His will. We're also still praying for Summer. We're praying that God will open those doors and that she'll be able to find the door that God wants her to walk through, and that she'll be made better some way, somehow, through the Lord's help, so that she can go back to the field. She wants to go back. So pray for her. And then we have Bob Daniels, who is not doing well, but we're praying for him and Sheila. And so all of these others that are on this list, you know, it's a pretty extensive list. So we are glad to see Pat here this morning. She's on our list most of the time, but she's here. She made it out. Good to have you, Pat. And all of these other things. And folks, look on here. We've got three people that are listed for salvation. We've got Leo Dennison, Stephen Baer, and Corey Baer. And we're praying for these folks, and we need to hold them up before the Lord. So pray that God will intervene. He will call on their hearts, and they'll accept Him. So is there any unspoken this morning? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray for Brother Philip as he teaches. And it's good to have you this morning. Father, we thank you for this day and for your blessings to us. And Lord, there's many times that we have things that's on our heart that we don't want to speak out loud, and they are unspoken, but you know all about them. Father, we pray that you will remember the unspoken request that is on our sheet, and also Miss Pat, we pray, God, that you'll intervene in each one, and Father, pray you'll have your will and way. And then, Lord, we do pray for Summer and Bob Daniels, pray for Lee and Constant, and Lord, all these others that are listed on here that's dealing with cancer, Lord, that's going through problems in this life. Some of them, Lord, they're not able to be here because of either hospitalization or, God, because of just being not able to come. And, Father, we pray for each and every one this morning. We also, dear God, pray that you'll touch them, give them strength, give them help, and Lord, that you'll see them through this time in their life, Lord, when they're suffering. Father, thank you for our visitors this morning. And Lord, we pray for Brother Philip as he teaches. Pray, dear God, that you'll give him power from on high, God, that let him tell us the words that he has received from you. And Father, we also pray for our pastor. It's good to see him back this morning. And we know he's tired, but we pray you'll bless the 11 o'clock service. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Turn to James chapter 1, verse 17, which is where we are. Who asked for Stephen and Corey Baer? Thank you. Those are your sons, right? Praise the Lord. I've been praying for them for a good while. I just wanted to make sure I had the right connection. There's so many connections in this church that we struggle to keep straight. When they talk about Mildred and praying for her, we did not realize that she was connected to the Rotens and the connection of the Rotens to Brother Ricky. And we try to get all these things in our minds as we're praying for you folks. And so it's nice to know. We care, by the way, we do. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We're going to see an example of that, by the way. The light is actually going to descend into this world and reveal itself to a man. And we're going to see what happens there. That book that you have in your lap and that we love is nothing short of, what's the superlative that we could say? Fantastic, amazing. It's a miracle. And by that I mean it is so extreme in the things that it says that it challenges our belief. Yet, we do believe it. Amen. Now, by that I mean, when I say we do believe it, I'm not talking about we place our faith in it in a time of trial. I'm talking about we believe that those things are actual facts, right? They are facts. That does not mean that we understand them all perfectly, or maybe not at all. We are very much like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And it says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, unless some man guide me? Boy, we're like that, aren't we? If we see something from the scriptures that we don't fully understand, we don't turn our back on it nor reject it. Amen? We start praying and asking for wisdom, and then we wait until God brings some Philip into our life to help us understand it better. That's the Bible way, and we love it. So we don't understand everything. Especially when we are young Christians, we don't understand much of anything. When the Savior spoke hard things in John chapter 6, and many of his disciples turned their backs and left him, we are those, like Peter, that say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we are, let me get it. Ah, I've lost my place. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now think of how difficult that was for them to accept that. Do you see me here? They looked at him just like you look at me, a man. He wasn't glowing. He was a man, yet they were given grace to believe something that was more than they could see with their eyes. They believed that he was that fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament that God would send his son into the world. And there he was, and they believed that. Now, folks, that comes by divine revelation. Matthew 16 and verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Everybody that comes to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent from heaven for the salvation of man gets it by a revelation from God. It is a divine revelation. And you and I have been brought into this divine revelation when our hearts turned to Christ. When we heard the gospel message and our hearts turned to Christ, we had our eyes opened, amen, to see. And aren't we glad that we did? Now, I can completely understand how a lost person would read this book and think it's a fiction or that it's some fairy tale. I can understand that. I did not believe this book at one time. But when I turned to Christ, God gave me grace to believe everything in this book, not understand everything. Now, there's a lot I still don't understand, correct? But I do believe it. I accept it as fact. Until a person receives the Holy Spirit, and he gets that Holy Spirit when he believes in Christ, it says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Yes, what a wonderful thing that is. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So, fantastic things, and we're going to see one of those in the Old Testament today. You can turn to Exodus chapter 34. Excuse me. Let me cover this. Exodus chapter 34. "And the Lord," verse 1, "and the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount." Now we know that when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he marched them with some trials straight to Mount Sinai so that he could meet with them there and reveal his mind unto them. They would have been completely unable to go into the promised land and prosper without knowing the mind of God. Amen? And so he marches them straight to Mount Sinai. And folks, they did not begin to wander in the wilderness until after they sinned. Then they began to wander, but they're not wandering now. The Bible says they came out by their armies, and he led them straight to Mount Sinai with purpose. Now, we know that Moses ascended that mount twice, correct? The first time he comes down, what are they doing at the foot of the mountain? They have given themselves over to who? The devil, and they are worshiping an idol. And he breaks the tables of stone as a type of them breaking the law, the whole law. To break any one part of the law is to break the whole law. This is in James. We'll see that later as we get to that part of the book. And so here in Exodus 34 and verse 1, in Exodus 34 and verse 1, we see that he is going back up the mountain to get the tables of stone written on by God once again. But before that happens, there is a conversation between him and God in a tabernacle. If you'll turn, just flip back a little bit to Exodus chapter 33, we'll see that. "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Ah, this is that wonderful light, amen, the glory of God. So, and he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. I'm so glad he said it that way. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Oh, now we know who that rock is, correct? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So he puts him on a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt stand by me, because all of our standing before God is on Christ, correct? We have no other standing before God except on that rock. But notice there was something else that happened. Oh, by the way, this is throughout the scripture, Psalm 40 and verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit of sin, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Again, David is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he brings you and I out of sin, out of that miry clay, he puts our feet upon Christ. Our standing is upon him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Now, folks think, well, I don't care. I can choose to believe or not. God says they're disobedient, and what they're doing is stumbling at the word. It says here, whereunto also they were appointed. They were not appointed to disobedience. If they are disobedient, they are appointed to stumble, correct? If you won't hear the gospel, if you won't hear the truth, you will stumble over this into hell. So, one last about the rock. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, it's talking about you and me founding our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard lots of preaching on this with application that through all the troubles of life, you know, we are going to be able to stand because we are on Christ. I'm okay with that. But this flood that is going to come upon everybody is judgment. This isn't talking about the troubles of life. This is like the flood of Noah's waters sweeping everybody away. When God's judgment falls, you and I will be safe, because we are founded upon the rock. Now, notice with me, back to Exodus chapter 33. If I can get back there. Verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory, the light, passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock. That word, if you go to Strong's dictionary, it says that that word right there means hole. So he would put him in a hole of that rock. In other words, he would be buried in Christ. There he is, buried now in the rock. And by the way, we'll talk about this in a little bit, because you and I are buried with Christ by baptism. Not water baptism, but another baptism. If we get to it, we'll talk about that. You and I are buried in Christ, and his death goes for our death. And we died in Christ, but he's not left there. So he sees the glory of God pass by, and I will take away my hand, verse 23, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. All right, so we have the scene here. This is amazing to me, an incredible scene where God comes down, and it's so much like our salvation, our standing in Christ, our being buried in Christ, our immersion into Christ, just like Noah and his family were immersed into the ark. Everybody that was in the ark was safe, amen? And everybody that is in Christ is safe from the judgment that is coming upon this world. But notice with me, if you would, Exodus 34 and verse 29. So here we see the light. We see this man getting a glimpse of that light. And in Exodus 34 and verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. So here we see him coming back down, his head's glowing, can you even imagine? And his face is beaming out the light that he just saw. And he had to put a veil over his face because they were afraid. They ran from him, didn't they? They were afraid of him. Now, by the way, this is fulfilled in John chapter 11 and verse 1 and in our Savior's life, because he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who has come down from heaven and is the glory of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1-3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven. And it says in John 1, verse 11, he came unto his own. Moses coming down. Jesus who came down, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that is exactly what we see in this passage. We have to remember, the Jews venerate Moses now, but they did not venerate Moses in the wilderness, correct? It says in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. They hated him. And just as they hate the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now, turn with me if you would. This all sets the scene of what we're going to see in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Because this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, makes reference to that scene that we see in Exodus chapter 34. I'll start in verse 12. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil, the same blindness, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So that veil that he put over his face is a type of the blindness that the Jews have to the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot see what God intended by this whole thing. They could not see to the end. Did I read it correct? Oh, excuse me. I've lost my place. There it is. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. What was abolished? What was the end of the law? If you look in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." So the whole purpose of the law and the end of the law, which was Christ, the whole purpose of the law is found in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." It says also in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, "For Christ is the end." So it says in 2 Corinthians 3, they could not see the end, which was Christ. They were blinded to who Moses was a type of, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law. And all of the law that was given to them was to point them to Christ and the light of the gospel that would come, and they were blinded then and now. Excuse me. Now, to that which was abolished. What is it that was abolished by the law? Did God waive the whole law and got rid of it? Absolutely not. God's law is still very much in effect. But there is a part of the law that is abolished, evidently from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and that is found in Colossians chapter 2. "And you," verse 13, "and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." What has been abolished? What has been blotted out? Not the law itself, but its condemnation, because Christ paid the debt, the penalty of that law. So when it says to that which is abolished, the law did nothing but condemn those people. The law can never save. The law, the works of the law will justify no man, correct? That law was given to make sin exceedingly guilty so that it would bring men to what we see Moses depicting when he came down from the mount. Jesus Christ coming down, the light of the world, to lead men to him because it has condemned them. And he's the end of the law, which means that he has abolished the penalty of the law in his person by his death on the cross. That is the light of the gospel, amen? And that is what they're blind to because they've rejected that person. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. "If our gospel be hid," if people cannot understand it, it's hid from them. "If our gospel be hid," this light that has shined into our soul, amen, in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished the penalty of sin and blotted out those handwriting of ordinances that was against us. They are no longer against us anymore because he fulfilled them. But if our gospel is hid from those people who can't understand that, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that is the devil, amen, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So when he was up there getting that vision of the glory of God, there standing upon the rock, being placed into the rock, having the glory of God pass by him, and God putting his hand over his face as he's in that hole in the rock, his face begins to glow, and then God sends him as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ back down to those people to be what? The gospel truth, to lead them and to help them understand that they could not be saved by the law. And what is happening while he's doing that? They are worshiping devils. They are worshiping an idol at the foot. The devil is doing his work at the very time that God is trying to reach them with the truth. Isn't that tragic? And they give themselves over to idol worship, and their eyes are blinded. The devil's done that. God doesn't blind people in that sense. The devil does that because men choose, well, as we saw last week, men love darkness rather than light. John 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. Moses there at the foot of that mountain. The Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this dark world. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They could not even understand what all of this meant. They were blind. That is what that veil is typifying. John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light, Moses with his face shining, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the gospel to us, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, the father of lights, James 1, 17, and men love darkness rather than light. Do we see them there at the foot of the mountain worshiping idols? They loved darkness. And when they chose that, a veil was placed over their eyes where they could not see the truth of Christ. And it will remain over their hearts, apparently, if we look at 2 Corinthians 4 again, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And by the way, that includes every man, not just the Jew. Whoever believes not, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And I missed the verse. Hold on. I think it's the other one. Let me look. 2 Corinthians 3. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, their heart, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, and they shall be able to see all that Christ had done for them. And folks, that's exactly what happened to us, amen? When we got convicted of our sin and we turned our hearts to Christ, the veil was taken away and we saw that blessed light that we are seeing in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Anyway, God bless you. This beautiful light, and we'll move on next week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these people and their attention. I've tried to do my best to explain the Father of lights, this wonderful light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ that has come down from heaven as Moses came down from the mount to reveal the truth to us. Thank you for bringing us into this light, in Jesus' name. Amen.